is.
SM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in third and final hour here on Wednesday morning. And as I've been mentioning throughout the course of the morning, we're going to be talking about V66. It was Boston's free over-the-air broadcast terrestrial television station that played music videos and was hugely influential in the Boston music scene of the 1980s. And joining us on the line, we have Eric Green. He is the director of the documentary Life on the V, the story of V66, which, while you can stream it at home, they're also having a special screening event in Somerville next Thursday, and he's going to tell us all about that, and he joins us now on the line. Good morning, Eric. How are you today?
Hi, Tim. It's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I know you've been a strong supporter of V66.
Absolutely.
On your show in the past.
Yeah, great to finally talk with you, and I watched the documentary again last night, and we just got all the nostalgia feels. I didn't watch a lot of V66. I remember seeing it as a kid. I was only, you know, like 7 or 8 when it came on. But I was able to, you know, because I was going back and forth between 56 and 68 when I was living in Randolph. And then you turn to 66 and there'd be these music videos. And I had MTV at the time, but I was like, well, this is like MTV. But as you say in the documentary, only better.
Yes, what you just said is a common theme for a lot of people who grew up in this area. So to back up for a minute, in the early 1980s, cable penetration in New England and Massachusetts was only about 30 to 35%. So even if you were excited about music videos, this new cultural phenomenon that was happening at the time, if you were excited about MTV and Michael Jackson's Thriller video, if cable wasn't even offered in your town, then you're kind of out of luck. And those towns that did offer it, some people had the, you know, the pushback of, gee, why should I have to pay for television?
Right.
So here was a free over-the-air TV channel that was on Channel 66, like you're saying, right between Channel 56 and Channel 68, that was free. You didn't have to pay extra for it or anything, and it was 24 hours of music videos. At that exact moment when music videos were a huge phenomenon and cable penetration was not great in New England. So it was such a great thing, especially for people who were really, you know, especially for the college crowd, teenagers who were really into music, and people like myself. I'm the same age as you. I was about 8 when the channel premiered, and it was great for me to be learning about music through this channel that played so many different genres. And it's such a, like you're saying, the nostalgia factor, it's such a conversation starter when you bring it up to people where it's like, hey, do you remember V66? And it brings up all these memories where it's like, you know, oh yeah, they played that video and all this other sort of thing. And I've seen so many, heard from so many, you know, viewers of the documentary and people on our social media who have said, that was the first time I heard, you know, Prince. That was the first time I heard The Smiths. First time I was exposed to U2. And so it was really a, kind of a gateway thing where through this channel, they were exposed to some really great music. And then through that, even more great music and similar artists as well. So it was really such a unique thing. So yeah, it premiered in February 1985. So this month marks the 40th anniversary of the channel. And to mark that 40th anniversary, we have a special screening next week on Thursday, February 27th at the Somerville Theater in Somerville, Davis Square. So everybody should come out. I'm going to be there doing a Q&A, and I'll be joined by some V66ers as well. And yeah, it's going to be a great time.
And, you know, the point is made in the documentary, which I thought was, you know, dead on, is that this channel – took local Boston acts and put them on television and made the viewer feel like these bands who are, you know, trying to get their big break were on par with some of the biggest acts of the day. And they helped break some of those Boston bands. Bands like Till Tuesday, you know, they can point directly to V66 for making them sound, or Aerosmith in their comeback from all of the turmoil they had in the early 80s. V66 played a huge role in making them big stars in the 80s.
Yeah, that's a really great point, Tim. Basically, you know, at this time, Boston was such a great music scene. You had the big big superstar bands like the Jay Giles Band, the Cars, and Aerosmith, who was just reforming with its original members and had their comeback album at that time. So you had the big artists, but then you had up-and-coming artists as well, bands like the Del Fuegos, bands like Till Tuesday. And then what you also had that was happening in the scene was you had bands that were just getting just enough money together to make a music video. And, I mean, today people are making music videos on their phones, you know, but, like, at the time, people would get just enough money in order, whether it was film or whether it was, you know, access to a TV station or a cable access station or something, or local film students as well who would want to make a video for their film project, and then the band got a video out of it. You were seeing a lot of bands that were making their own videos that didn't have a record label backing or anything. And they would submit it to V66. And if it was good enough, yeah, they would play it right between Madonna and Motley Crue. And then for the viewer, it's like, you know, it's like really leveling that playing field of there's no, you know, it's not like the local hour. It's like this same local band is getting played between these huge superstars like Van Halen and whatnot. So it was really a big thing. In the case of Extreme, who had a major label debut a few years later, and of course had their big number one hit with More Than Words a few years later, they had a video that they made with a local film student, Scott Calvert, and he went on to be a huge music video director and even directed some films as well. When he was this young, ambitious music video director at Emerson, he made a video for them for Mother Don't Want to Go to School Today, and yeah, they submitted in V66. Had it right in their lineup in between, you know, some huge bands, and the band stopped in a few times as well. So it was really a great boost for local bands. And in addition to just playing local music, they had a lot of road remotes. They were live at various clubs in Boston. They were live at various college campuses, and they were doing some live concerts as well. They'd oftentimes, when a band was coming to town, they would, you know, go into Boston and do a lot of press at some of the radio stations. And then on their way to the Worcester Centrum, they'd stop right off the pike at V66 and pop in and do some appearances there. So it was what's really interesting about the time period of V66 from February 1985 to September 1986 is that was such an amazing time for music, and V66 was kind of this fly on the wall for all of that great music. I mean, not just so much of the local scene that was exciting at the time, but you had, you know, hip hop music that was coming up from the underground. You had, you know, a lot of college radio rock that was coming up. You had heavy metal that was breaking through to the mainstream. You had, you know, a lot of big music events like Live Aid, which V66 was the only non-cable channel besides ABC to broadcast in Massachusetts. So, you know, this huge, you know, benefit all-star concert, two different countries that was happening live. If you didn't have MTV, you could turn on V66 and see the whole entire concert all day, not just the highlights that night in prime time. So it was really an exciting time for music. And also because music videos had, you know, were becoming this huge phenomenon, there was a lot of creativity that was happening in the music videos themselves. So I thought it was really exciting, especially for, you know, a young child just learning about music and watching this channel to see that. So then, yeah, years later, decades later, as I got into filmmaking, I decided to explore this in a documentary.
And you got to work with somebody who I've had on one of my shows before, Christian DeRozendis. You had a great crew putting this together. I mean, the folks you were able to get to come on camera and talk. I mean, it was amazing seeing some of these folks and their passion and their love that they still had for V66. Everybody from, you know, people who work there and might have gone into other ventures to people who are big stars today because of the exposure they got.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting the kind of, you know, the how this is really a stomping ground for so many people. You had, you know, people like David O'Leary, who went on to not just do radio, but also a lot of television. He does a lot of TV hosting. And then you had Ian O'Malley, who went on to do a lot of, a lot of other music video television. He did VH1 for many years. He did VH1 Classic. He hosted one of the early seasons of Big Brother. He's appeared in several movies as well. You had Bob Rivers. So Bob and Zip were radio personalities at the time, and they had a TV version of their radio show that was on V66, where they would take live callers just do jokes and, you know, wacky impressions and things like that. And they did that. And Bob Rivers has had a long career. He did the Twisted Christmas, which I'm sure you and your viewers, your listeners probably know about the Twisted Christmas. It gets played every year, the 12 Pains of Christmas.
Right. I was going to say, all you have to say, if nobody knows Bob Rivers, all you have to say is, "Ringing up the lights!" And then people know exactly what song you're talking about.
Exactly. You may not know his name, but it's like, oh, we listen to that every year. It was created by radio personalities, John Garabedian, and he brought in another radio legend, Arnie Woo Woo Ginsburg. And, they had this FCC license for a TV channel, and he, after being really big in the world of radio ownership, John Garabedian wanted to do something with it. So he was sort of bringing his experience from radio into television. And one of the big things he learned from radio was really interacting with his community and really making it viewer listener driven, where he could say, hey, this is your station, call in, we're going to play the music you want to hear. And he brought that over to television. And I think it's really interesting where now, pre-internet, here was something that was very interactive with its audience, where listeners could call in. It was live, no even like 5 second delay. People could call right in, talk to the DJ, and request any video from the previous 5 years, and they could play it right there, just like, because it was set up like a radio station where they could just play anything, you know, from right then and there, from their TV station. So it was a great thing to have, the radio background coming into television and the perspective there and all of the, you know, it was very much about the community and connecting with Boston and getting fans in Massachusetts excited about music and excited about pop culture. Very, very influential. Yeah. Not just, and like you were saying with the documentary, we do have a lot of musicians who came the next wave after V66. Members of Letters to Cleo, members of the Lemonheads, people who were that next wave of Boston rock scene who remembered watching it and were inspired to start a band as a result of that.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, John Garabedian mentions in the documentary, and he talks quite a bit about, you know, things like Hume and imaging. So he's dropping a lot of radio terms. So you can tell he's bringing that radio sensibility. But one thing that they smartly did that radio really never did, and certainly MTV didn't do, was they kind of cross-pollinated across genres. You know, even MTV, as they started to introduce hip-hop videos, were still doing like Yo MTV Raps if you want to see hip-hop videos, or, you know, Headbangers Ball if you wanted to see metal. You weren't seeing them run, you weren't seeing Iron Maiden right after Prince. But with V66, they kind of threw all that out the window and said, yeah, let's just play one thing after the other because we want to just keep people interested and have a little something for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, yeah, to your point, I think, you know, if there was heavy metal played after Prince, it would be more of the radio-friendly Bon Jovi or something of that nature that was played right after. But, yeah, they played all different genres. So you would have, you know, a pop, top 40 pop video, followed by a hard rock video, followed by, you know, and, you know, an alternative rock video, or at the time it was called more like postmodern. I think the term alternative is more 90s based. Mm. But yeah, you were seeing one after another, and it wasn't like, you know, hey, I think they tried to experiment a little bit with like a heavy metal show for a little while, but for the most part, yeah, it was a lot one after another. So I think it was later where it was more like, okay, go to the, you know, MTV having their, you know, Yo MTV Raps and, you know, more their dance show and then those sort of things, as opposed to, you know, one that was just playing more what was popular. And, you know, they played so many things. The most popular video in V66's history, the most requested video in the channel's history was actually Run-DMC's King of Rock. And I think they were very much embracing a lot of different genres and what the audience was interested in. So, yeah, I mean, they did their own versions of certain videos. We got into it a little bit, how there was the Dire Straits' Money for Nothing. They changed the lyrics from I Want My MTV to I Want My VJV, WVJV were the call letters of V66. And yeah, it was really exciting. A lot of, for, you know, young people who couldn't, you know, weren't old enough to start going to rock clubs in Boston, it was this thing that made you feel like, wow, we're a part of this amazing music scene that's happening right here. And then for those that were, there was reports from a lot of bands that they were getting, you know, more of a turnout after V66 of suburban, you know, fans coming into the clubs, places like the Channel or the Rat that were popular in Boston at the time. And yeah, so it was really an exciting time for music, and it was an exciting time for music videos. And they were there to really capture so much of it. And and unfortunately, I think they kind of learned a lesson after it only lasted a year and a half. But after a year, they started to realize that the ratings at the time were measured in 30 minutes and 60 minutes. Today, it's a little bit different. But at the time, it was measured in that. So if you had people who enjoyed this 5-minute music video and then changed the channel because they didn't like the next one and come back, it was really hard to retain that audience in terms of ad sales. So they tried to experiment a little bit with TV shows. They tried to do, you know, sort of a magazine show. They tried to do a sports highlight show. They brought in syndication like American Bandstand and Soul Train and even wrestling. They had one of the wrestling shows on for a little while just to try to see what might work with the V66 audience. But, you know, some of those did okay, but there was also, you know, the mindset at the time of, well, you know, it's a music video channel. Why should I go here for sports? Why should I go here for wrestling? But so it was also somewhat expensive to do those shows. And they didn't really, you know, plan for that. So I think they looked at all their options and, you know, John Garabedian, he had the ego to say, I'm going to start a music video channel. It's going to be just as good, if not better, than this national phenomenon that's happening. But, you know, he had the humbleness to say, this is not my channel. This belongs to my investors, and I have to do what's best for them. And so he had to look at all his options. And, yeah, they ended up selling the TV channel, the actual TV antenna, to Home Shopping Channel. And for so many fans, that was such a disappointment. It wasn't like getting sold to another music channel. It was getting sold to Home Shopping, which was such a letdown for, wait a minute, what is this? where's the videos? Where's the music? What is this? And so that was a really sad day for music, sad day for music fans in Boston. But, you know, it was this thing where just for a year and a half, it was such a unique and exciting thing. And I think from the standpoint, from the cinematic standpoint of the idea of coming at this from the standpoint of now, which is all of the, you know, the way you can bring up any music video right now on the internet, just a few clicks away, you can bring up anything you want, video on demand, you know, watch anything you want, listen to anything you want in whatever order you want. the idea of this free TV station that did nothing but play music videos is such an intriguing thing. And I think I went down that rabbit hole of really talking to all the players, talking to the musicians, talking to fans, and putting it all together to really try to tell the story right.
Yeah, and even if you've never seen V66, the documentary is fascinating to watch. We just got a minute here before we got to go into the news. But so people can watch the documentary now. So it's available on the Pluto app. That's how I watched it again last night. It's on YouTube. We have it linked up in the story that I reposted on the WBSM Facebook page. But really, next Thursday is going to be the chance to see it with a group of people and with people who were there and with the people who made the film and to really have like a big, you know, 40th anniversary bash for V66.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we find even in the age of being able to watch this at home, there's a lot of people who really enjoy the communal experience of watching this movie. It's very much an audience movie. You can laugh at things together and cheer for things together and see it with your friends. And then getting to see it, you know, and talk to the participants afterwards is really an important thing, I think, in this day and age. And it stays with the idea of V66, which is interacting with the community. But yeah, if you're not able to make it to Somerville that particular night, like you were saying, it's available on all the streamers. We're on Amazon Prime Video, Google Play, Nightflay Plus. It's on Pluto, like you said. And it's really exciting. So please check it out and make it to Somerville Theater on Thursday, February 27th at 7:30 p.m. if you can.
And you have a website for the doc. You have a Facebook page, a Twitter, Blue Sky, everything out there. So if people want to follow along, they can see future screenings and other fun stuff that you share there.
Yes, lifeonthev.com. And our handle is V66 Documentary on Facebook as well.
All right. Well, I hope that you get a huge turnout. Thanks for joining us. It was so much fun talking about this. And maybe we'll do it again sometime.
Terrific. I love that. Thanks so much, Tim.
All right. Thanks. You have a great time. Great day today.
You too. Bye.
All right. That is Eric Green. He is the director of Life on the V, the story of V66. And check it out. Even if you never saw the channel, you will absolutely love the documentary because it takes you back to a place in time when anything was possible and when music videos were still fresh and exciting. All right. I got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments with the news. Stay tuned. All right, we are going to go now into the newsroom with Phil. On the other side, if you want to call in, 508-996-0500. Right now, take it away, Phil Devitt.
Feeling cold? You're in good company. Egg prices continue to soar, and Apple has an announcement to make today.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A large part of the country is dealing with freezing temperatures. Over 75 million are under cold weather alerts in the Plains, Great Lakes, and here in the Northeast. Arctic air combining with a storm system coming from the Rockies that will make for hazardous winter weather. The cold weather will impact recovery efforts in parts of West Virginia, Kentucky, and the Mid-Atlantic, where intense flooding hit the region over the weekend. Meanwhile, parts of North Dakota and Montana woke up to temperatures of almost 60 degrees below zero yesterday morning. Wind chills below zero have extended down to Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Pope Francis has pneumonia in both of his lungs. The Vatican updated the condition of the 88-year-old on Tuesday, saying, quote, lab tests, chest X-ray, and the Holy Father's clinical condition continue to present a complex picture. The pontiff has been hospitalized since Friday. Earlier, the Vatican announced all of the Pope's plans for the rest of the week have been canceled. An archbishop will fill in for Francis on Sunday during Mass at the Vatican. Officials say two people remain hospitalized after this week's plane crash in Toronto. 21 people were injured in the incident at Toronto Pearson Airport. Regional Delta Airlines flight from Minneapolis was carrying 80 people on board. Officials said first responders and the plane's crew executed a textbook response to the crash. The plane will remain on the scene at the airport for the next 48 hours as investigators look into the cause of the crash. Egg prices continue to soar. According to a new report from the USDA over the weekend, wholesale egg prices jumped 40 cents over the last 30 days. That means a dozen eggs cost distributors $7.44. That has yet to be fully passed down to customers, with the national average price for a dozen eggs hitting $4.95 in January. That's expected to climb with shortages continuing and distributors operators passing down the rising costs to shoppers. Rising number of bird flu cases is being blamed for ongoing egg shortages. Astrophysicists are celebrating a record-breaking cosmic discovery. The Cubic Kilometer Neutrino Telescope Group said they've uncovered the highest energy ghost particle called a neutrino at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. A neutrino is a subatomic particle with no electrical charge and mass so small it has the ability to go through all types of matter without altering its structure. The discovery is significant because it may lead to a better understanding of how far and what caused them to travel through the universe and land on Earth. Other types of particles get mixed up in universe dust, where neutrinos are a pure signal that can give us clues about sources from far, far away. And Apple launches a new product today. Apple CEO Tim Cook announced the launch date last week, but didn't say exactly what the product would be. He posted on social media that it would be the newest member of the family. Speculation is that Apple will take the wraps off a new iPhone SE 4. The revamped SE is expected to feature a larger screen, Face ID, and Apple Intelligence. It's expected to sell for around $500.
WBSM Sports.
Team USA wraps the Four Nations tournament on Thursday at TD Garden, and then the Bruins are back in regular season action on Saturday. Meanwhile, the Celtics gearing up for a trip to Philadelphia. They'll play the 76ers on Thursday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Partly cloudy today, a high of 29 degrees. On Thursday, mainly cloudy, a slim chance of snow as a storm passes to our south, a high of 30. Friday, partly cloudy, a high of 34. And Saturday, mostly sunny, high 35. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM. Get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
If you could only see the way she loves me, then maybe you would understand why I feel this way about our love and what I must do. If you could only see how blue her eyes can be when she says she loves me. Well, you got your reasons and you got your life, and you've got your manipulations. They cut me down to size. Say you love, but you don't. You love, but you.
And welcome back in 508-996-0500. And we can talk about any of the things we've been discussing this morning. But right now, I want to talk about meat. That's right. Delicious. Juicy, fresh, unlike any you'll get anywhere else, meat. That's what you'll find at the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, where you can get things like celebrity pork chops, Terrace Major, sirloin steaks. You can get tomahawk steaks. You can get their cowboy cut. You can get all kinds of different versions of beef. You can get chicken, chicken breast, chicken wings. Big and meaty. And of course, those celebrity pork chops. Linguiça charisse. Seafood. Lobsters. All of that. But also other items that you need when you're out there shopping. And other foods that you would love to have for dinner. Comfort foods like French meat pie. On Fridays, the best octopus you can find in the city. Trust me, I've tried many of them. And of course, they have your beer and wine. They have the cheese fridge with cheeses from all around the world. They even have soccer balls on the shelf. They have everything from steak to soccer balls, as we like to say, and everything in between. So don't just take my word for it. Visit the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street. Walk around, take a look at that meat, take a look at some of those hot foods that they make fresh every day. I guarantee you, you're going to walk out of there with something delicious. The Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Stop by, say hi to the Pinaretta family, and tell them you heard about it on WBSM. Tell them that you're a huge fan of Eric's appearances every Friday. He is the rock star of butchers, that is for sure. He could have had a show on V66. So we can talk about V66 if you remember it. I don't know how much it came in down this area, but at the time I was in Randolph when it launched, and then I moved to Plymouth. And I got it on my little TV that I had in Randolph. When I got to Plymouth, it was a little bit harder to find, to be able to get. But I was able to, I had a little TV that had a long antenna attached to it. And I found that if I put tin foil on the end of my antenna or a coat hanger or something to kind of extend the reach, and then I stuck it out my window, I could get 66, I could get 68, I could get 56. The UHF channels were not, although 25 came in no problem, but the others were a little bit difficult. 38 was difficult. And V66 was where I would go for music videos because we didn't always have cable. Cable was a luxury that we had if we had the money. But if things got tight, cable was the first thing to get cut. So sometimes I would have it, sometimes I wouldn't. Eventually, you know, by 1988 or so, we had it all the time. But prior to that, it was, you know, when we could afford it, we had it. And also, I think my parents didn't really see the value of it, because they weren't watching a whole bunch of stuff on it. But we were like, no, we need Nickelodeon. We need MTV. We need the Disney Channel. I like to tell kids today, like my nieces watch the Disney, well, my older niece is probably aging out of it. My younger niece watches it. But I used to tell her like, oh, that used to be a pay channel. You had to pay extra to watch it. And it didn't have commercials. When we used to watch Welcome to Pooh Corner and Good Morning Mickey and Mickey's Mouser Size and Just You and Me, Kid. I geek out about things like this, so. But it's amazing to me when you look back at some of the technological advances that were made in the television industry. And a lot of them happened right here in Boston. We were the fifth largest media market in the country in the 80s. So this was a place where it was fertile ground to try things out, but also it wasn't such a spectacular fail if things didn't work out. I still remember before we had cable, we had things like Preview and Starcase, these dedicated boxes that would come in over a UHF channel that you had to have a descrambler to watch. And they just ran the same movies every night at the same time. My upstairs neighbor had Preview. We had Starcase, and you would just go into whoever's apartment had the movie that you wanted to watch that night or the special event or what have you. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You were on WBSM.
Morning, Tim. I enjoyed listening to your guest. I don't know if he mentioned it. My recollection was that that frequency, that broadcast license originally was an adult pay-only station. It didn't last too long, and then they went free. Are you familiar with that history of that?
I'm not. I know in the documentary they just mentioned that it was an available signal. They didn't say what it had been previously. Now it's a Univision affiliate. But back then, in the documentary they said it was just an available frequency when Garabedian bought it, which was, I think he bought it years before he turned it into V66. It took him a long time to get all the proper licensing.
Yeah, because one of my neighbors subscribed to it, and it was you had a little descrambler box on top of your TV, mm-hmm. and it was just analog scrambling. And up, after midnight, it was like adult movies, but all throughout the day were kind of second run movies that you could subscribe to. It was $19 a month or whatever it might have been. So it was kind of cool, but it was a local signal. I was in Natick, and it was I think the antenna was in Marlboro, but I'm not sure. But there was hadn't gotten cable yet because we were so close to the Boston Denham antennas that we had just about perfect reception. But 38 never came in right for most of its existence for some reason.
So maybe that 66 signal was either Preview or Starcase then.
It was something like that, but it was a real early version of it. You know, it was interesting. Well,
I think those were both dead by 85.
Yeah, could be, perhaps. I was just thinking about that. I was going to volunteer to get up on the roof and hold your antenna steady for you the last couple of days.
just block the wind, I guess.
We've had what an extended run of wind we've had. It's finally starting to mellow a little bit. But anyway, no, that was interesting. But how things have changed. I just can't see. I cut the cable. I don't know what to get now. I'm going to have to do something with Pluto or something you mentioned. We'll get there eventually, but I don't seem like I'm missing too much.
Yeah,
luckily I got BSM.
Well, between those and the digital antennas you can put on your TV now, that should help you be able to have enough entertainment.
Yeah, I do. I get 6 and 10 and the substation, so that's the and out in the garage I do even better at the Boston station. So it's just kind of cold out there this time of year.
Oh yeah, definitely. All right.
Well, thanks, Tim. Oh, hey, last yes. thing, Tim. I never knew there was such a thing as North Shore roast beef, but I used to do deliveries up there. I'd run through Marblehead and Salem and Beverly and into Peabody, and I used to get it just with provolone and mayonnaise, lettuce, tomato, and mayonnaise, but it was the best roast beef.
Well, if you like barbecue sauce,
I never knew it was a thing.
You got to try the James River barbecue sauce.
I never did the sauce, but it was always the best roast beef.
Absolutely.
All right, Tim. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Have a great day.
And let's take another call here before we got to take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
How you doing, Tim?
Good. How are you?
All right. I got two questions only, and I'll be quick. I promise you. I remember the old rabbit antennas we had to move around to get the channels and put tinfoil on them. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And then the other one, remember the old cable boxes used to be with the phone line?
I don't remember that. No. Hooking. So
it was
you would
a square box, and you had to run a phone cord through it and run it to the cable box.
So it would take up your phone. You wouldn't be able to make a phone call while you were watching TV.
No. You have to use that as like a dial box, you know.
Oh.
On your TV. You know, as like your control.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, many years ago, the cable used to have it. Liberty Cable used to have it. Went on the Captain Street.
Oh yeah, that was before I was in Plymouth when Randolph and Plymouth when cable came in. So
yeah, wasn't him used to run that place? What's his name? That guy? Not Phil. I forgot. Jim. I think something like that. Jim something. He used to run the cable company. He used to do the news and everything.
Oh, Jim Marshall.
Yeah, Jim Marshall.
Yep.
And then Dollars for Dollars used to be on Channel 6. Remember downtown?
Yeah. George Allen. Yeah.
I remember that. All the good old stuff.
That's how I watched all the horror movies back in those days because I'd get
Me
to see
too.
The watch
you
the
know,
Howling George, on Dialing for Dollars.
Yeah, and George says, "Anybody ready to be the lucky one today?"
Hey, it was never me though.
Good old days,
I never
you
won.
Know? And me either. I never won either. The good old days, I wish they could bring back. You know, kids could realize what we didn't have that much stuff back then. Now these kids got to buy their palm of their hand, their telephones and stuff.
Well, just remember, you know, remember what Billy Joel told us. The good old days weren't always good, and tomorrow ain't as bad as it seems.
That's right. Look at these kids got the telephones, and we had to run to a payphone to pay a telephone and make a phone call.
Right.
Out in the cold.
And I had one of those little things that was like a fake quarter on a plastic handle so you could drop it down there and
We won't tell nobody that.
No, the statute of limitations ran out. Okay, you have a good day.
All right, Tim. You too, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, I got to take a break. Yeah, I got that from the guy that used to do the newspapers in front of the diner. That they used to have one of those so they could open the machine. And he said, you know, it was easier than having keys because the different machines had different keys. So they used this thing. It was a quarter shape and it had a long handle. And he gave me one. And so I could use that to make phone calls on payphones. And you could use it for vending machines and everything. Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Let's talk of peace. Sounds so cliche. Another D. Catch. That's my favorite song by Extreme, who got their first exposure on V66 and then became a huge band with More Than Words. And then eventually Gary Cherone went on to become the lead singer of Van Halen for one album in a brief period of time, which that album is much maligned, but it's pretty decent. It's definitely of its era. It's not as timeless as some of their other music, but I still enjoy it. I listen to Van Halen 3 every now and then. So we're going to be taking our final break coming up in just a moment, and then we'll give way to Chris McCarthy in South Coast Now, and he's going to have Mayor Mitchell in here later, so you can talk with him about the police chief, what's going to happen. As I mentioned earlier, there is no deputy chief to just say, okay, this would be the person that we would make the acting chief until we figure it out. There's two assistant deputy chiefs, though, in Derek Belong and Scott Carolla, so there's options, but the mayor could also decide to look outside as well. So all of that and more coming up on South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Also, as we're talking about some of these older things today, you know, like V66 and Starcase and Preview and things that aren't around anymore, one thing that is still around is M&M Hay and Feed, because they're an old school mom and pop store where you can get all of your hardware, where you can get all of your feed and grain, where you can get chickens and turkeys and everything else that you could possibly imagine. And just like those old school stores do, they will deliver it all to you. But I would recommend going over to the store, walking around, seeing all that they have so that you have an idea, and then you know that that's the place to go. Don't go to a big box store where people don't know what they're talking about and they just say, hold on, let me look it up on my phone and tell you what aisle it's in. No, these are the people that not only know what you need, but have the know-how to tell you how to get the job done. So stop by M&M Hay and Feed, and you can find out for yourself exactly how much they'll be your friend and your partner in getting these projects completed. And maybe you want to build that home farm, right? Save money on eggs because you'll be having the hens lay them yourself. Stop at M&M Hay and Feed, 31 Cove Road in Dartmouth. All right, let me take this final break and we'll come back and wrap things up. And they'd have a deal for that. That actually got moved to next Wednesday just due to some scheduling issues they have with some of their other live shows they're doing. So you can get the Dartmouth one now at seizedeal.com, and you can get the Wareham one.